Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
You know, one of the really interesting guys when I used to work at the other place, do you remember John Ritchie Goulet? We'd bring him on as a guest. Very unique personality. Super smart guy. Went to Stanford, Michigan. Super smart guy. And he was like a fullback. He was 7 years in the NFL, some Raiders. 4 straight years he was in the playoffs. If you watch playoff games, you'd see John Ritchie. But what I always loved about him, he was a free spirit. And he needed to be in the media because he was very outspoken and he had crazy hair. And I just talked to him a minute ago. I want to bring him on live. Former Eagle fullback John Ritchie. I love his hair. And he said his daughter cut it. And I honestly, God, I think you look fantastic. First of all, you've lost some weight because you were a big fullback.
And oh, I was husky. I was very husky. I was when we were working together, or when I was trying to work close to you, I was probably 270. Wow. I got up to 3 bills.
Wow.
And now I'm about 210, 215.
Oh, my God. You look fantastic. And congrats to your daughter, because the whole thing's working here for me. All right. Let's start with this. I said today, when the story first broke yesterday, I said, oh, Eagles is a great job. And then I'm hearing Jeffrey Lurie say, well, he didn't deserve to get fired. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. So Chip Kelly had a winning record. Doug Peterson had a winning record. Andy Reid had a winning record. They all had a bad season, and they got whacked. And I'm like, is this a great job, or is it a job that has, John, unrealistic expectations and pressure?
Yeah, it gets unrealistic in Philadelphia, no question about it. But I believe that Doug's job performance this season did merit consideration of the chopping block. I was shocked, though, that they actually went there, especially after last week when Howie Roseman and Doug Peterson had the press conference showing solidarity. That was the Monday after the tank game when they got out there in public and basically, I don't know, showed this front of propriety and everything being status quo. I think something had to happen last week during the, you know, from Tuesday on. Now, Doug met with our owner, Jeffrey Lurie, last Tuesday, and then things sort of devolved from there. And what we can gather is that Doug got sick of people telling him what to do.
Yeah.
You know, this is an organization at this point that it's run by the mathlete Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie, the owner, and there's no secret about that any longer.
Yeah.
And Doug was a great soldier, and Doug was a great coach here. But when you don't have say over who your staff is, and you don't have – they took advantage of him. They chopped his knees out at every turn. There was insubordination in the coaching ranks. There were reports that the coaches that Howie hired were sort of undermining Doug behind the scenes. It was a mess. No one knew what a mess it was, because Doug put on such a great front for so long. It's miraculous he made it as long as he did in terms of how much dysfunction there was in place.
See, this is why I love bringing local guys on. All this information that we don't get, John here is delivering.
Yeah.
By the way, 4 hours a day, which is not easy, with Joe DeCamara, who's a big legendary pro in Philadelphia. So there's a big show on WIP Radio. So
yes.
Got to give you a lot of love because you guys...
Well, thanks,
Colin. You crush. Okay, so now... Philadelphia is a little crazy town in their conspiracy theories, but I'm always up for one, John. So there's a little conspiracy theory on Jalen Hurts and maybe something going on. Can you explain to our audience?
Total conspiracy theory. This was formulated today on our show, and really nothing to substantiate it other than Joe Banner tweeting out, you know, Joe Banner, who knows the way our owner here in Philadelphia works, having worked for him for a long time and childhood friends with Jeffrey Lurie, He said that he didn't think this move to fire Doug Peterson would have been made had there not been a slam dunk guaranteed plan in place. Like, they already knew the guy was going to agree to the job as the head guy with the Eagles. And I'm just thinking, you know, just putting two and two together, there was so much consternation over the Jalen Hurts pick. Like, why in the world would you go there? Well, if the sure thing was a handshake, wink, wink with Lincoln Riley way back when, it does. They didn't know if there was going to be a college season at that point. It tends, I don't know, it sort of enlightens some of that murky decision-making from the time. But again, total conspiracy theory, and it's, you can have it if you want.
Listen, not only will I take it, I won't give you any credit. I'll just, from this point forward, it's mine.
All yours, Colin.
Now, here's one. So during the, because I talk a lot of Eagles and get a lot of hate from Philadelphia, but I kind of like it and stuff.
Oh, you do?
I do. And so I was always a Carson Wentz fan, but I did acknowledge at some point it's broken. Like, it's confidence, the Nick Foles statue, they draft Jalen Hurts, something's not right. Did you bail on Wentz? What's the, if you took the temperature of the city of Philadelphia this morning, Wentz, yeah. Jalen Hurts, who do they want? What's your gut?
Everyone wanted Jalen Hurts after he beat the Saints, and then the next several weeks ensued where things came crashing back down to reality and teams had tape on him and teams started mush rushing him and he didn't necessarily look like he knew what to do with the ball.
Sure.
This, I would say it's split 50-50 in Philadelphia.
Wow.
There are those who believe that Carson Wentz will be back, that he had something to do with the Doug Peterson firing. You've got those conspiracists on one side, and you've got people who say that this team plays better for around Jalen Hurts, that he is the right man for the job. I personally believe that you're paying tens of millions of dollars to Carson Wentz anyway. If you're the owner, you want to try to make that work however possible, so that this new coaching hire has a lot to do with who can do the best job of resuscitating Carson Wentz's ability to look like a top three quarterback in the NFL.
Let me throw this one at you. It's just so funny because I've always considered the Eagles really well run. And then John Goulet today threw this at me. They haven't drafted a Pro Bowler in 7 years except Carson Wentz, Howie Roseman.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, they got a Patriots issue going on here. Let's just talk about the personnel. I could make the argument. Little cap mess, little old, not a lot of young stars. Is this potentially, for the next several years, John, just an average roster? Or is there something they're missing?
Oh, it's worse than that, Colin. This roster is bottom five in the NFL,
wow,
if you ask me, for, you know, moving forward with the lack of talent, like you said, the age. Think about we are in the second worst predicament cap-wise in the NFL for 2021. Some of the guys who are good are going to have to go because the Eagles won't be able to pay them. So the roster's already bad. Yeah, the bottom line is we don't know who's making the picks anymore. You know, we thought that Howie Roseman was the GM. They took a long time to call him a GM. But now we're hearing rumors that Jeffrey Lurie makes some of the picks here and there. And fingers are pointing all over the place. This is a bad roster. And the parts that are good are old. We thought that Carson Wentz was the gem of the team and the gem of the NFL, the future. And now we're wondering if he's broken himself. He was the redeeming part of the roster. Yeah, the offensive line was horrendous this year. Fortunately, some of those guys get healthy. And, you know, you get Lane Johnson back, you get Brooks back at guard. But that should help Carson's cause. But defensively speaking, there's nothing aside from Fletcher Cox. You've got Darius Slay at cornerback and then nine other guys who are going to be bottom of the barrel. You can't pay them anything close to what a good starter earns in this league. It's a sad state of affairs because, again, we are being run into the ground by the mathlete Howie Roseman.
Wow. Isn't it amazing when you go local and you hear all these stories? I love this. This is one of my, we do this regularly on this show. Before I let you go, you went to Michigan and Stanford. So if you and I did a show, you would be way smarter than me as the football player, and I would be just holding on for dear life. So this Joe DeCamara, he must be a handful of brain power because he deals with you.
No, Joe DeCamara, he does all the talking, and I not in agreement for the most part. But, Colin, you got to remember, I smashed my face into people for the good part of 20 years. I got dumber.
I love John Ritchie. And by the way, you're also stylish. That's the nicest jacket anybody's worn on the show. And let me see your hands.
It's silky.
It's really nice. Look at your rings. You're like a rock star.
Sort of.
Yeah.
I'd like to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A rock star.
I rock out a little bit.
With a bench press. All right, buddy. You were great today. I appreciate it, man. Good luck to you.
Thanks, Colin. I love you, man. Thank you so much.
All right. One of the really good guys. Super smart. Super funny. So happy for him. John Ritchie. 7 years in the NFL. He's just a character.
Isn't it amazing what you find out when you talk?
It's unbelievable.
When you dig in locally. It's like there's a lot more going on in Philadelphia than we thought.
Like a lot of these guys that are national guys, you know, they're too good for local. I miss local.
I love local.
I would die to be on Cleveland radio yesterday taking hate calls. Can you imagine being on Pittsburgh radio yesterday, Cleveland radio, Philadelphia? My head is spinning with what I'm hearing now.
There's a lot to process from what we just heard.
A lot to unpack. I'm going to go listen to them today. Hold on. Can you, hey, Goulet, can you give me the app or the web? How do I get on to 94 WIP today? Can I listen to that at home?
Yes.
Is that on iTunes or something?
It's 2021. Yes, you can listen to things from outside of your city.
Oh, can you?
On your phone.
Do they have a big antenna that reaches out here?
It's dreams, I think. I believe so.
You guys are just making fun of me. Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news. This is the Herdline News.
We reach pretty far, actually.
What's that?
We have a lot of fans in Australia.
We do?
Yeah. Yeah, I hear from someone in Australia like once a week that listens to the
show. Hey, if you listen to us outside of the country, in Canada, give me a break. That doesn't even count.
Why?
Well, Canada's us. They're just a
they
nice.
They would disagree
they're just
strongly.
A,
I think the Canadians would disagree right now.
Colder, like, nicer version of us.
You guys are very different right now.
We want to hear from you.
So the Texans have reportedly requested an interview with Eric Bieniemy after all for their head coaching position. This will be his sixth interview for head coaching jobs this year. He was also said to be the candidate that Deshaun Watson wanted the team to interview. So they he's finally gotten around to it.
He's already interviewed six times.
Yes.
Wow, what a busy bye week.
So, based on the anti-tampering policy, the initial interview window for Eric Bieniemy closed Sunday, so the Texans aren't permitted to interview him until the Chiefs lose or after the Super Bowl, whichever comes first. Well, I mean, I imagine it's a little easier to do these interviews now because everyone has to do them digitally. So, you know, whereas before, these were all definitely going to be face-to-face interviews. You can get them done over Zoom now.
Yeah, you're right. It seemed so daunting, but that you just, you know, between the new radio towers that have happened in America and that, I learned a lot about technology in the last 2 minutes.
Yeah. But there are a lot of openings still. The Chargers, Eagles, Falcons, Jaguars, Jets, Lions, and Texans. You know, we were talking at the beginning of the show how we weren't sure if this Eagles job was good. After hearing all of that, don't take this job, Eric.
No.
It was offered to you.
No, I mean, seriously, it's like the levels. I mean, I know Howie Roseman's got power, but God, after listening to John, it's like, coaches want some say.
I mean, you should definitely have some control over your coaches. That's a very common problem in organizations, though, that if the GM and the coach are not aligned, or if you have some leftover pieces from the previous administration, let's call it, or, you know, you have the GM wanting to bring in certain people, there's going to be disruption amongst the ranks because it's like, who do you answer to? You know, do you answer to Doug Peterson or do you answer to Howie Roseman? Like that's a major issue. You have to, of course, at least have control over your coaches. How can you get anything done?
Wow.
How can the message be spread if half the coaches are not adhering to what you're saying and they're going with what the GM says?
I'm going to still throw this out there. Jason Garrett to the Chargers, I think, is the most underrated move. If I hear somebody bad-mouthing Jason Garrett again, Jason Garrett to the Chargers, what does Justin Herbert need? Former NFL quarterback, somebody who's been in big games, can help him. He's very patient, can help him develop. I mean, the knock on Jason Garrett, he didn't clap very well. But the knock was never he's bad in late-game situations. The knock on him, he didn't have this massive
enthusiasm. Well, he doesn't have a massive personality.
Well,
and I don't know that that's really necessary, but I do think you do have to have some sort of aggression in what your game plan is overall for the organization. I like Jason Garrett, and I do think it would be a good hire for the Chargers. I think you need someone who can take Justin Herbert to the next level. Like, that's what you want
to
do. You
want
to capitalize on the next 4 years of Justin Herbert's career.
And you don't have a meddling owner with the Chargers. That you don't have somebody hovering. And they got a very capable GM who, by the way, is not a power-hungry GM. It's not like the Philadelphia situation, apparently.
Apparently. So the Steelers suffered a shocking loss to the Browns Sunday night, which knocked them out of the playoffs, but that did not stop wide receiver Chase Claypool from continuing to talk trash about Cleveland's ahead of their game with the Chiefs.
You know, bad loss, but Browns are going to get clapped next week, so it's all good.
I barely heard that.
It was like one of those, like, under the breath comments, like, oh, whatever, you guys are going to lose anyway.
Listen, Pittsburgh got rolled. Sometimes you just have to say, Cleveland was better than us.
Cleveland was way better.
How about that? How about that? The first game, blowout Steelers. Second game, doesn't really count. Third game, blowout Browns. Like, you saw three totally different games when they played.
And, well, the Steelers were a different team.
Yeah.
I don't know why this is so shocking. I mean, look, that game was shocking, obviously. I didn't think, no one thought, the Browns didn't think that game was going to go the way that it did as quickly as it did. But that was a winnable game for the Browns always. The Steelers lost, four of their last five games? Like,
if you take out one second half against the Colts, Big Ben did not play well for 2 months. He had a great second half, aided by a couple of sketchy pass interference calls that went against the Colts.
The Browns have been getting better all season long. Baker's playing well. They're healthy.
They're not turning the ball over.
Were obviously missing their head coach, which didn't matter because they won the game the way they did. Now, if they had lost, it would have mattered. It's just one of those things.
I think
the coach being out, you know, fluky things can happen, but he obviously set them up for success, so they had an amazing game. As far as the Steelers go, like, it's just time to look in the mirror. Yeah. Enough with this, like, never-ending loyalty thing. That's not how this works. You have to keep up. The division is, every team in the division has their quarterback now. So now you're the team everybody's looking at. The Browns have Baker. Where's Lamar Jackson? In the playoffs.
Right.
With the Ravens. Joe Burrow is coming back. They're going to be better next year.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
No, these are legitimate points. I'm getting some interesting information here.
Oh, are you getting hit on the Colin?
I don't want to give stuff up, but okay. You know, sometimes the downside to being America's media icon is this. You just get a lot of stuff thrown at you.
Tom Brady and Drew Brees will meet this Sunday in the divisional round of the playoffs. Brady, 43. Brees will turn 42 on Friday, making this the oldest quarterback matchup in NFL history with a combined age of 85. And in response to a tweet suggesting his game should be played on the History Channel, you know, we've got all these different forms and ways to watch the NFL now. Brady posted this picture of himself and Brees with some photoshopped aging effects.
Looks like David. Brady looks like Letterman.
I thought this was legitimately hilarious. Like,
yeah.
I actually laughed at this.
And Drew Brees looks like that very well-respected geology professor at a local college.
He does. He does. That beard on Brady is ridiculous. It's so funny. It's such a good edit. Tom Brady is great at a lot of things, and he is also really great at social media.
This is really funny.
It's so funny. So the previous record was an age of 84. Brady and Brees met during the regular season. And the previous playoff record was 78 when Brady played Philip Rivers. And they showed a graphic of Brady at 43 and George Blanda at 43.
Oh, I didn't see it, but I heard about it.
You didn't see it?
I heard it. Blanda looked 100.
at least 145 years old. Like, and when you put him next to Brady, who has somehow gotten better looking since he's gone to Florida.
Certainly,
like,
younger.
The Florida sun has done him wonders. Like, his skin is glowing. The wrinkles are gone. His hair is a different color.
Everybody looks better with a little sun.
Tan. It's remarkable side by side. Blanda, I mean, listen, it was a different time, I guess. The air.
Well,
quality.
Back then, first of all, nobody had their own trainer. Secondly, people just drank and smoked a lot. Like, players, athletes were like, I had a friend in high school, my best friend's brother, Brad Jones. As a kid, I remember this. He won something in school, and he got to go to the Seahawks Raiders, the locker rooms. He won some, like, he was a 4-point student. And he went into the Raiders locker room. And this is when they had Stabler and Cliff Branch. And he said they were playing cards in their jock straps and smoking before the game. He said he was like a really strict, you know, he didn't party. He was a great student. Brad Jones was his name, and he told me they were smoking in the locker room.
No one's accusing Blanda of that. It just was rough side by side. Sometimes you get a rough side by side. It's unfortunate graphics, but that's what it was. I mean, they used to smoke on planes.
In 1989?
Can you believe that? Like, you're just sitting there on a plane
for five hours. Picture.
Yeah.
There's the picture. Oh, my gosh. Well.
Blanda looks like his grandfather. It's crazy.
Can you imagine sitting on a plane today?
No.
And somebody sits up next to you and kicks back with a Marlboro.
For four hours, just in your face.
Hey.
No.
Want to hear about the Old West? Not really.
No.
They're just coughing on you.
Oh, no coughing these days, by the way.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
I can't get over John Ritchie and that Howie Roseman stuff.
It's a lot.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Go the extra mile, your very own upfitted Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van. It's Fox Sports Radio's ultimate tailgate rig sweepstakes. You can enter now. Go to foxsportsradio.com. January 24th is the deadline. So there's a bunch of different coaching, seven teams looking for a new head coach. We thought it was six until Philadelphia shocked us yesterday and made the decision. So we're going to grade them, Joe. We're going to grade each head coaching opening.
Professor Colin, what grade are you giving the Eagles opening?
Well, after John Ritchie's interview, I probably should downgrade this a little. I had a C+ before I had John Ritchie. I do think they have a capable, smart owner, and Carson Wentz is talented. And by the way, Darius Slay is a great corner and Fletcher Cox a great defensive lineman. You could argue the Rams have Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey. So they do have two great players at defensive line and corner. So do the Rams. That's a really nice building block. But they're over the cap. Their wide receiving core was the lowest rated in the NFL. And I'll be honest with you. Offensively, their best offensive lineman, Lane Johnson's always hurt. Brandon Brooks just came off an injury. They drafted a top left tackle a few years ago. Andre Dillard, I think, is his name. They need him to play. But they have to address the offensive line fast.
What grade are you giving the Lions opening?
This is the worst opening. I would say a D+. You have Matt Stafford, so there's something there. But they've been in last place 3 straight years. The defense, despite the fact Matt Patricia was a defensive guy, has gotten worse. I just think it's a losing culture. They've had one winning coach since 1975. That's Jim Caldwell. So there's not apathy. People care, but they just, to me, Detroit and Cleveland before this year, like, they're the most dysfunctional organizations. I mean, you can say Washington, but Washington's won a division or three in the last, you know, couple decades.
What grade are you giving the Falcons opening?
Well, I like the owner and Matt Ryan's a top 12 quarterback, so I'd say it's a B-. They're $25 million over the cap, 3 straight losing seasons. They're pass rush is not great, and their secondary is bad. The good news is they have got a top 4 pick, so they can either get a quarterback or they can get the best left tackle maybe in the decade out of college, Penei Sewell. So they do have, and or they can move down with that pick if they want to stay with Matt Ryan. Somebody comes up. So I think their draft pick, it feels like a C job, but I think that draft pick is real leverage. It's a little bit of a gold bar, and I do think Arthur Blank is a stable owner.
What grade are you giving the Jets opening?
Now, I'm going to give it a C-, and you say, why not a D? They got a lot of draft picks. They have the number two draft pick, and they got $70 million in cap space. So if you got the right coach, you got a lot of money and a lot of draft picks. That's in this league, it is hard to screw up a lot of draft picks and a lot of money. You're going to hit some of them. The other thing is, their GM Joe Douglas is not overly needy or forceful. I thought he had a very good draft for the Jets last year. They hit on a couple of secondary guys. The left tackle's a work in progress, but he's got talent. So I think you have a very capable GM who's not power hungry. So you can walk in and have real communication with your GM, and he'll probably ask your opinion on things.
What about the Texans opening?
Well, this is about Deshaun Watson. So if I have Deshaun Watson, that's a B. I would give it a higher grade, but they have to rebuild their offensive line. You got one more year of J.J. Watt. But here's the good news. They led the NFL in yards per play. Why Deshaun Watson? Here's the other good news. They led the NFL in passing yards this season. So again, everybody wants a dynamic quarterback. I've got that. Don't love the owner. Don't love the front office. I think I'd move J.J. Watt. But I get a star quarterback, a star left tackle. And in this league, you can do everything right and be bad at left tackle and quarterback, and you're bad. You can do everything wrong, and I get Deshaun and a good left tackle, Laremy Tunsil, and I'm like, I'm a draft away from being okay if I can solve the offensive front.
What grade are you giving the Jaguars opening?
Should be better, but a B minus. I mean, again, you got the number one pick, you're going to get Trevor Lawrence, and you got $73 million in cap space. This should be an A++ job, but there's just an apathy around the organization. I mean, here's an organization that's had one winning season in 13 years. They kept their GM, they kept their coach. It's a college football, high school football town. And so there's no demand for, you know, the media has no power. Sometimes that can go overboard, but it's nice. This is why the SEC is so good, beyond having a good high school programs everywhere in the South, is that the fans are demanding, is that you've got to get good coaches, and if you don't, the fans voice their opinion. Nobody cares in Jacksonville. So I do think if they got Urban, that cap space, and Trevor Lawrence, they'd win 9-10 games for the next 10 years. But would anybody care?
How about the Chargers opening?
This is about as good an opening as you can have. I get Justin Herbert. I get over $25 million in cap space. They have several stars under contract. Joey Bosa, Keenan Allen. I get Justin Herbert. And by the way, I was reading this morning. 16 of their 20 losses the last 2 years have been by a possession. So they've led a lot of games against a lot of good teams. And I think most people agree that's the opening.
This is the best job.
And the Spanos, they're not huge spenders on the free agent market, but they're not meddly. They're not like on you all the time. They're kind of sometimes you wish they were willing to spend more money, but maybe that'll change in Los Angeles. There we go. College football, congrats to Alabama. I can't figure out what to do with Mac Jones. I cannot. I watched last night.
Everybody's
wide open. He's not a great athlete. Great running game. Never trails in a game. Joel Klatt was on earlier. I asked Joel Klatt, I'm like, how do you evaluate Mac Jones?
He plays with a great understanding of the game. You can tell that he has complete control over his game plan. He understands where the defense is. You know that because his eyes are decisive, his feet are decisive, and he throws the football on time and on target. Mm-hmm. Those are things that translate, right? I mean, he's an anticipatory thrower. He throws with great touch. He doesn't have the best arm in the world, but he tends to put the ball in great spots. I think he's a first-round player.
Oh, wow. All right. So, well, that's what they're saying. He's a first-round pick. I went and looked this morning. San Francisco drafts 12th. New England, like, 15th. So you look at that and you think, okay.
I think we thought this was going to happen last year, but I think this year will be the year that we see some dramatic movement, some dramatic trades, especially if Miami doesn't want to take a quarterback at that number three spot.
I don't know. It's just hard. I mean, he's not even playing it's the opposite of the NFL. I mean, everything's just, it's like literally just don't wreck the Mercedes. Don't run it into the garage door. Like everything's perfect. I don't know. We'll see. Most life-changing sleeps about what's underneath. Casper mattresses. Oh, only at Casper. It's what I sleep on. Keep you cool. Back aligned all night. We'll see you tomorrow. It's The Herd.